ですね。
So welcome everyone to this season of Binah Summer Learning Experience. First of all, today's shiur is in memory of Bracha Ben Leah Bas Baruch. Sorry, I'm messing up, mixing it up. Leah Bas Baruch, Shama Shadav and Aliyah, and should be a good to better for the family. We're going to be learning about Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. It's something which is very pertinent, particularly for this year. Something which doesn't come too often. And if we have time in a couple of days, we'll go backwards and get to Purim Meshulosh when Purim falls out on a Friday, which is particularly interesting for those who will find themselves in Eretz Yisrael. Very, very interesting. I'm talking about Yerushalayim and Orim HaMukafas Chaima, walled cities, where it's really interesting where actual Purim in Yerushalayim is on Shabbos, and it has very particular dinim as to how many times you lay in the Megillah, and when you lay in the Megillah, and Shalach Manas, and all the other mitzvahs of Purim. But there are things to be aware of over here as well, and that is particularly with regards to the Purim Surah, and how do you do things if the Purim Surah is extending into the evening, and the concept of Poiris Mapo Makadosh. Does everyone have a copy? All those over here. But first of all, we'll go to Erev Pesach that falls out in Shabbos. Now, Erev Pesach falling out in Shabbos is such a bizarre situation that you've got an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch. Siman Tof Mem Dalet, 444. It's an easy one to remember. 444 in Aruch Chaim deals with the dinim of Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. It's you could call it a rare occurrence, because it comes up, for example, in 1954 there was one. There wasn't another one until 1974. Then there were quite a few. The last one that we've had was 13 years ago. So 13 years ago we had one. Now we're having one. We're going to have another one in 4 years' time. And then we have a 20-year break until the next one. So there's no, like, it's not like one of the things in the calendar where you've got like in the 19-year cycle, you know, you're going to have seven times, you're going to have an Ibra year, you're going to have a leap year. It's one of those things where it depends on whether you're going to have Rosh Chodesh Tevis and Rosh Chodesh Kislev, whether they're going to be 1 day, 2 days, and how everything in the calendar falls out. It's something there isn't really a set cycle for it, but it's something which we definitely need to be aware of because things are quite different. We're going to actually look at a piece in the Gemara. We'll start off with a bit of a Agadata, but a piece in the Gemara, a very famous piece in the Gemara before we get into any particular halachas, which is going to show us how bizarre it was, so much so that people were able to forget things. Now, we know that people forget things from 1 year to the next. In fact, that's why we have to lein zocher every single year. How do we know that we lein zocher every single year? Because the Torah says, lo tishkach, you shouldn't forget. And we know that people forget things from 12 months to 12 months. There's a whole shaila with regards to zocher, if it's an Ibra year, if it's a leap year, whether you've got to lein zocher a month earlier, because is it 12 months or is it a year? But people forget things. Definitely in this kind of situation, people do forget things, and therefore it's important for us to focus on it and to look at it and to learn these halachas. Certain things, for example, just to throw it out there. For example, Tainis Bechorah, so when do you do that? When to those who fast, those who make a seum, when do you do that? Starting from the very beginning. Bedikas Chometz, so when do we check for the Chometz? Now, the Mishnah says, Ola Arba Oso Boikines HaChometz, L'Ora Ner, the eve of the 14th, the eve of the 14th is Shabbos. Can we check for the Chometz on Shabbos? So we don't check for the Chometz on Shabbos, we check the night before. But what happens if you forgot to check the night before? What do you do then? And then Shabbos itself, the meals of Shabbos, how does that work? How do you have three meals on Shabbos? How do you have particularly your Suda Shlishis on Shabbos? Suda Shlishis is generally had in the afternoon. With the afternoon, what are you going to have? You can't have Matzah Terah Pesach. You can't have Chometz, so because it's already after the Zman. It's already after the middle of the day. So what are you going to have? Getting rid of the Chometz in your house. So we take it for granted we have an Eruv, so you can put it outside, put it into public property, a place which is not yours. Putting it into your own bins doesn't count. But what happens if you have some things left over? What happens about the kalim and things that you cooked, that you had your chametz in? What do you do with that? It's something which we need to be aware of. Beer chametz, do we make any particular declaration on Shabbos morning, which is actually the time of being mevatel the chametz? And so too with many other practical considerations of these halachas, there are things to be aware of, and the things that we need to know in this kind of year. But first, let's get into a little piece of Agadata, but it's a very important story which I can guarantee you, you will hear this coming year. No question about it. And this just shows us how with the passage of time, things are forgotten, with even forgotten by the leaders of the Jewish people. Here's the piece in the Gemara. We'll spend a bit of time on this before we get into some of the specifics, because as you'll see, this is a very bizarre Gemara upon which there's a lot of commentary, and we'll look at one or two things. So the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samach Vav, says as follows. Tonu Rabbanan. The rabbis taught us. Halacha zu nis'alma mi'bnei b'seira. This halacha was concealed. Literally means it was concealed. This was forgotten by the B'nai B'Seira. Who were the B'nai B'Seira? B'nai B'Seira were the Nesim. They were the leaders at the time. Interesting thing, they were like in between two phases of Nesim. They weren't from the house of Rebbe, but they were the leaders of the Jewish people. Pam Achas, one time it happened. Chal Arba Osor Lias B'Shabbos. The 14th of Nisan fell out on Shabbos. Now, by the way, that's a very strange wording. It says, this halacha was forgotten. It didn't even tell us what the halacha, what was. It just says, this halacha was forgotten, and then it comes and tells us. It's almost like a colon, but the Gemara doesn't usually work that way. Gemara usually tells us a fact, a situation, and then it goes and tells us what happened post that fact. But here, it doesn't work like that. It tells us what happened, and then it tells us what the fact was. The 14th fell on Shabbos. Shochachu, they forgot. And they didn't know. This is the time towards the end of the period of the second base of Mikdash. They didn't know. In Pesach, toiches haShabbos im lav. Does the Korban Pesach push away Shabbos? Can you bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos or not? Now remember, the Korban Pesach is that Korban which the entire community needs to bring. It's a very interesting Korban because it's got the din of a Korban Tzibur, it's a communal sacrifice, but it's also a Korban Yochid, it's also an individual sacrifice. Each person brings it, but the whole community needs to bring it. They didn't know, do we need it, do we bring it or not? So Amru, they say, Klum yesh odem shiyadeya in Pesach toiches haShabbos im lav. Is there any person who knows whether Pesach pushes away Shabbos, whether the Korban Pesach can be done on the Shabbos or not? Amru Lahem, so they said to them, Odom Echod Yesha Olam Mibavel. There's a certain man over here who's come up from Bavel. V'hilo Habavli Shmo. His name is Hilo Habavli. Sheshimeshnei Gedoyle Hador. He served the two giants of the generation, who are Shmaya V'Avtalyan, Shmaya and Avtalyan. We know the famous story with Hillel climbing on the roof and blocking out the light because he was too poor to be able to come into the Beis Medrash. But he served Shmaya and Avtalyan with Mesiris Nefesh. But Yodeya in Pesach Toiches HaShabbos Im Lav, and he knows the ruling on this, whether Pesach pushes away Shabbos or not. Sholchu v'koru lo. So they sent and they called him. Omru lo, they said to him, Klumato Yodeya in Pesach Toiches HaShabbos Im Lav, do you by any chance know whether Pesach pushes away Shabbos or not? Towards the end of the fourth line. Omru lo, he says to them, V'chi Pesach Echad Yesh Lona B'Shona. Now he's a real Jew, he answers the question with a question. He says, V'chi Pesach Echad Yesh Lona B'Shona Shodeches HaShabbos. Do we only have one Pesach in the year that pushes away Shabbos? Malo harbe yoisim imosayim psochim yeshlonu b'shona shedoichin es Shabbos. We have over 200. Jesus, please just keep yourselves on mute over there. Thank you. We have over 200 psochim korbonis in the year, which are like a korban Pesach, which push away Shabbos as well. Omer loy, so they said to him, what is he referring to? He's referring to the daily sacrifices, the Tomid Echot Sheshacha and Echot Shobayin Arbaim, the sacrifices, the Korbanos that are brought in the morning and the evening, meaning at Mincha time, which are always brought even if it's Shabbos. So the Omer loy, they said to him, Minayin Lecha, how do you know this? What's your scriptural source for such a thing that we bring these Korbanos even on Shabbos? Omer loy, he said to them, Nemar Moyadoy BePesach. It says that the Korban Pesach needs to be brought b'moyadoi in its appointed time. B'nemar moyadoi b'tomid. And it says the word moyadoi, its appointed time, with regards to the Korban Tomid. That's a daily sacrifice. Ma moyadoi ha'omer b'tomid oiches haShabbos. Now, how do we know that we actually bring the Korban Tomid, the daily sacrifice, on Shabbos? Think about it. You're shechting on Shabbos. You're doing all these things on Shabbos. How do you know? Because the Torah, it says b'moyadoi, it needs to be brought. But Moyadoi in its time, even if it's Shabbos, it has to be brought then. So it says the word Moyadoi b'tomid, and just as over there Doiches haShabbos af Moyadoi amur b'Pesach, so to the Moyadoi which is says by Pesach Doiches haShabbos, it pushes away Shabbos. He brings a Gzeira Shava. We know that Moyadoi over there pushes away Shabbos. So it's over, yeah, Moyadoi pushes away with Korban Pesach, pushes away Shabbos, and you bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. V'oid, furthermore, he continues, and he says, it's a Kal V'Chomer. It's a Kal V'Chomer.
can use it, we can logically understand it based on the Kal v'chomer principle. And that is, if the tomid, and if you fail to bring the korban tomid, there is no punishment of kores. It's just that you have transgressed, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah saseh. You've been over on the la on the mitzvah. You've let the mitzvah saseh go by of bringing the korban tamid, but you haven't. You don't get a punishment of kores, and nonetheless it pushes away Shabbos. So Pesach she'onush kores, which has a punishment of kores. Remember, there's only two mitzvahs asay where failing to do those mitzvahs asay carries a kores punishment. 36 mitzvahs lois asay, but there's only two mitzvahs asay, and that is bris milah and korban Pesach. Ain, if that's the case, ain din shedoiches a Shabbos? Should the law not be that it should push away Shabbos? Kal v'chomer. Which one is heavier? Which one is stricter? If the lighter one pushes away Shabbos, if a regular Talmud pushes away Shabbos, how much more so should that which carries the punishment of Kores be able to push away Shabbos? Now look at the B'nai B'seira. The B'nai B'seira are the ultimate example of bittul, ultimate example of humility. Miyad, immediately, hoshivuhu b'roish. They placed him at the head, uminuhu nosi aleim, and they appointed him to be the leader, the nosi. And it continued in Hillel's family. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda nosi is from the line of Hillel, and the rest of them, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamlio and Rabbi Gamlio, and all of them are in his line. And he would expound. The Gemara continues and says he would expound and he would teach the entire day. He taught that entire day. He taught the laws of Pesach. Hischil mekantron bedvarim. He started to tell them off with words. Omar Lahan, he said to them, "Migorim lechem she'elim mibavel ve'ayin nosi alechem." He says, "What caused that I should have to come up from Bavel and should be your leader?" Atzlus shoyis abachem. It's because you people were lazy. And he's not telling off the Bnei B'seira. He's saying, "How could it be that you forgot such a thing? I was in Bavel. You guys were in Eretz Yisrael, but over in Bavel, I was able to keep the tradition and understand and have this Masorah, and you didn't have it." Shaloi shimashdim shnei gedoyle hador shmai v'avtalins, because you didn't have shimush, which means you didn't serve Shmai and Avtalion, which, by the way, we learn there a very important thing, which the Gemara stresses again and again. Because one great thing is to, it's a great thing to learn from someone, but nothing compares, and this comes across in the Gemara again and again. It says, Goydul shimusha yoisim limudoy. Greater than learning from a Talmud Chacham is serving the Talmud Chacham, being with them and seeing how they live and how they practice. And he says that's what you people are missing. You're missing that you didn't hurt you shloshimashdim shnei gedol ador shmai ba'avtalion. In fact, the Gemara in Sota and the Gemara in a couple of other places says there's a question in the Gemara which says Eizo Am Ha'aretz, what's considered to be Am Ha'aretz, and there are different definitions. One says if you didn't read Shema, one says all different kind of things. One definition of Am Ha'aretz, I think it's Rav Meir, says an Am Ha'aretz is a person, Shekara, Veshana, he learned Mikra, he learned Mishnah, he learned Talmud, he learned all the reasons, he learned everything, but he was not Meshamish Talmud HaChamim, he's called an Am Ha'aretz. It's an interesting thing, right? But anyway, that's on the side. So this is the story, and the Gemara continues the discussion between Hillel and the Bnei B'seira and certain things that Hillel wanted to understand that the Bnei B'seira knew and that they didn't know. But what is so astounding in this entire story and what makes absolutely no sense is how is it possible that such a thing they could forget? Bnei B'seira are not the first generation after Matan Torah. There's been hundreds and hundreds of years when definitely it would have happened that Pesach, Erev Pesach, fell out on Shabbos. How could it be that they didn't know this? What was going on over here? And then Hillel comes along and he comes and tells them exactly what it is. There's no one, I mean, this is called, this is like a collective amnesia. The whole nation forgets exactly what's going on and what we did just a few years ago. This question is asked with regards to other things as well. For example, the way that we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because the Torah says you've got to have a teruah, a moving sound. That's what teruah means. We don't know what that moving sound is. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us about that there was the machlokes. One says that it's like someone who wails. Other one says that it's like someone who whimpers and cries in that kind of way. And then they would convey that that's the way that we blow the shofar. You know, we have a whimpering and wailing and just whimpering and just wailing. We have all those different kind of sounds. And the question which comes up, how could it be that they could forget? But that's not as much a question over here. Here we're talking about something which is mamish history, and this is something which is not just about individuals. These are the leaders. How could it be that they could forget such a thing? But what you see from this is that it was pretty rare kind of occurrence. Now, the Gemara Yerushalmi actually mentions it. The Gemara Yerushalmi says, ask the question. Before we get into it, and there are so many commentaries on this, and there's some beautiful things. You look in the Haggadahs, you'll see some beautiful explanations on this, and I'm sure that this year there'll be more Chidushim as well. But the Gemara Yerushalmi actually has a very simple answer. Very simple.
There are other things that didn't occur too often as well. They didn't forget them. Shemitah and so on. Like
correct. Correct. Okay. Shemitah once in 7 years. Correct. Correct. I mean, how to do Birkas Hachama? I mean, that was once in 28 years. Although this, like I just said, we're going to have once in 20 years. This is, understand. It's no big deal. Yeah, correct. So, but this is a big thing. This is the whole nation. What do you mean you did it? You don't know where you were 5 years ago? The whole nation, everyone forgot where they were? What happened over here? And we're not talking about, by the way, we're not talking about a time where the B'nai B'Sarah suddenly, if it had been the beginning of the period of the second base of Mikdash, everyone had just come back and maybe they didn't know. And there were things like that. The Gemara Megillah, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us certain kind of things. They forgot about the ends, the certain letters. They forgot about Menatzbach, the Sofrim Kovum, that they set them. The letters which have a Sofit, whether they're set and how people could forget certain kind of things with golas that happened, and that's what the Rambam actually says with regards to the teruah. But this is not golas. This is like something which is they've been going on. This is like 300 years into the second base of Mikdash. No, the Gemara. Towards the end, as I'm saying, but B'nai B'Sarah come up more than 300 years after. That's what I'm saying. So the Gemara Yerushalmi has a very simple answer. Remember this answer because everyone's going to give many different pirushim. But remember the most simple answer. Omer of Abun. The Gemara Yerushalmi right here. Says V'alo Yevshar Lishnei Shviz Sheyochu Yudal Lidias B'Shabbos. The way Yerushalmi is strange in its wording, but what it means, he says, what do you mean? It's not possible that you're going to have 2 7-year cycles go by. We mean once in 14 years you're going to have Erev Pesach falling out on Shabbos. Question, right? V'lo Manis Alma Halacha Mehen. Why then was this halacha concealed from them? K'day Liten Gedula Lehilo. The whole point was, everyone forgot only so that Hillel should become the Nossi. That was the point of the whole thing. And they accepted that. They realized that straight away. Miyad Hoshivu Minuhu Nossi Alem. They Hoshivu Barosh. Immediately they said, this foreigner, this guy no one knows, suddenly he's the rabbi, he's in charge, and you know, we're all just going to listen to every single word that he says. That's what Gemara Yerushalmi says. The Tzlach has got a famous answer on this. The Tzlach, of course, is the Noda Behuda, Rabbi Cheskel Landau. He in his Pirush on Psachim says as follows, Ton Rabbanan, and he points out the words is a little bit strange. Halachas, and again, it's worth it to look into because this is one of the famous sugyas with regards to Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos. And I was thinking maybe we'll do this at the end. We'll go into the halachas first, but this is worth it's worthwhile to look at this. He says, Ton Rabbanan, halachas is Amud Nevi Seira Pam Achas Chal Yudal Ladias B'Shabbos VeYesh LeDakdek. We're in the piece over here. Actually, I've got to turn the screen down. V'yesh ledakdek, he says, we've got to be precise in these words. It starts off and says, halacha zu, this halacha. That's not the way of the Gemara, it's not the way of a brisa to work. Ki ilu moira be'etzba zu here, as if it's already pointing and saying, this halacha that you've already mentioned. V'hare achakach hu she'omash shachachu v'lo yodim pesach doicha Shabbos. It's only afterwards that it tells us what actually happened. The case is coming after the details. The detail, it should be the other way around. Should have said, which halacha is it saying that is it pointing to? It's saying that this one was forgotten from them. There's been no mention whatsoever that the 14th falls out on Shabbos yet. He says the better way that it should have been worded, the brisa should have been written as follows. Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis taught, Pam achas chal yudale b'Shabbos. One time the 14th fell out on Shabbos. This is how it should have started. One time the 14th fell out in Shabbos. And this halacha was forgotten from the B'nai B'Seirah. And they didn't know whether Pesach is Doicha Shabbos or not, whether you bring it on Shabbos or not. Question, right? In the wording, halacha zu, as if there's already a halacha. Halacha, and therefore he says, Nir l'piyani estaited, it appears to me as follows. Hakavana halacha zu. The intention when we say halacha zu, this halacha and this alma b'nei b'seira was forgotten from the b'nei b'seira, pamacha shechal yudal yis b'shabbos, that the 14th fell out on Shabbos. Ze atzmoi, this itself, shenichu lochu yudal b'shabbos, the fact that they allowed the 14th to come out on Shabbos, hoyo halomas halacha mehem, that is something that was an oversight on their part. The Tzlach is going to tell us that, as we know, the Jewish calendar was manipulated from time to time. We know sometimes an extra month is added, sometimes an extra day was added towards the end of Elul, and so on and so forth, in order to accomplish certain things. So for example, in order to accomplish the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, in order to make sure that Yom Kippur doesn't fall out on a Friday, and that Yom Kippur doesn't fall out on a Sunday, so the always they would manipulate the calendar by a day, day here and day there, which is a fascinating concept on its own. The calendar, the dates, where Hashem says, if you eat on Yom Kippur, you get chorus. Well, that day itself could be manipulated to be a day earlier or a day later. Yep, they were able to do that. However, he says that this is what they used to do according to the B'nai B'Seira. They did this with regards to when they would see that the 14th, that Yudalit was going to fall out on Shabbos, they would manipulate it by a day here, a day there, to ensure that it didn't fall out that way. That's what they used to do. Why? Because they didn't have this Kabbalah. They didn't know this limud of b'moyadoi. They didn't have that. We can understand this based on what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. It says as follows. He's going to explain it. He says, the rule is, when you've got a whole community who are tomei, do they bring the Korban Pesach? Yes, they do. Okay, we know that only if an individual is Tomei, then he gets pushed off to a Pesach Sheni. But if it is an entire community, then everyone brings the Korban Pesach in a state of Tuma. The question is, there's a brayso which says Ein Ma'abrin Rashonim Mipnei Tuma. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ma'abrin. Do we add when we see the whole community are going to be Tomei? Does the Beis Din, is that a basis for the Beis Din to add on an extra month? An extra odor, so that the whole community should be in a state of tara when it comes to the time to bring the Korban Pesach. So remember, there were times when they were able to add on an extra month. For example, the Mishnah tells us that if they saw that there weren't enough sheep for the people to be able to bring the Korban Pesach, so they would have to add on an extra month. There were times when they did that. So was it good grounds to add on an extra month if they saw that people, that the entire community was in the state of Tumah? Now you can bring it in a state of Tumah. So the Tanakhama says, Ein ma'abrin nashonim mipnei Tumah. We don't add on an extra month just because of Tumah. Rabbi Shimon Omer ma'abrin, Rabbi Shimon says, we do. What's the svaras hamachlokas? What's the basis for it? You can bring it anyway. So why would you add on an extra month? Mavura shamam would base. Over there in Sanhedrin, on Yubay's Amud Bay's, the Gemara explains, the third line of this paragraph, the Pluktayuhi, their argument is, Im tuma d'chuya b'tzibur oy hutra. Now we have this concept. Very often the Torah will allow us to do something. Question is, for example, Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh doich Shabbos. Everyone knows that Pikuach Nefesh, someone's life is in danger, Shabbos is set aside. Question is it d'chuya or is it hutra? D'chuya means that it's pushed aside. Meaning it is Shabbos, just that Hashem says that the laws of Shabbos are suspended momentarily. Or do we say hutra? Hutra means it's like a weekday. And there's many nafkaminas, many practical implications. The Rambam, for example, says with regards to Pikuach Nefesh, says Duchuya Ji Shabbos Eitzel Pikuach Nefesh. That Shabbos is Duchuya. The question is, with regards to Tumah, everyone agrees that if the whole community is Tumah, you can bring the Korban Pesach. The question is it like everyone is Tahar? Or that Hashem's saying that even though you're Tomei, you can bring it. Which one is it?
Like from a Digan, a Lashon, you would say like, Kiyach Nefesh Dekas HaShavas, whereas here it's Tomei Hutcher V'Sibur.
Exactly, correct. Okay, but it depends. Dechuya could be because we're already saying like the widespread, like the Rambam. And could be that we're saying, with regards to Tumah, we're saying Hutra, we're already saying like this particular opinion. So therefore he says, Ulafi, so the one who says, again, the one who says that Tumah is Dechuya, that really everyone's Tomei. It's just that we're allowing you to bring the Korban Pesach. So that opinion will say, well, you know what? If the whole community is Tomei and you can add on an extra month and ensure that everyone should do it in a state of absolute Tara, then add an extra month. Whereas the opinion which says that you don't do that, he holds that that Tumah is Hutra. Tumah is absolutely, it's Hutra. There's no reason whatsoever to add on an extra month because it's like it's completely Hutra. Everyone is completely in a state of Tara. That's what it's considered like. But now let's just see what he's getting to. Right? Yeah.
No, but whether you say it's Hutra or Dechuya, that can't kick in until you have those two scenarios coinciding. Meaning you have the coincidence of the Chiyuv of Korban Pesach and of being tamei. So then you can say, now that those two things are clashing, is it hutra d'chuya? But when we're talking about adding an extra month, we're trying to do it with foresight, right? We're trying to do it a month in advance.
But everyone, we know, we
so
could see that everyone...
it's not hutra or d'chuya, it's nothing.
But we see, we're coming at the very end of we're at the last day of Adar. The second last day, whatever, when you're allowed to, the last moment that you're allowed to, and we see that most, the majority of the community is going to be tamei.
It doesn't matter right now.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. That you said, okay, that's a whole chakira on its own. When you see that something is coming up, whether it's as if it's right now. Right?
Meaning, what's the staff to say that it would be? You don't have a chiv. If you don't have a chiv, it can't be.
I hear you.
It's
nothing. Yeah. It's not okay. Well, anyway, that's the whole, check into the sugya over there. The reason he brings the sugya, the reason that he brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin is because he says as follows. This is what the B'nai B'Seira's logic was. B'nai B'Seira and many generations before Hillel came along, their logic for being able to manipulate the calendar to ensure that Erev Pesach should never fall out on Shabbos. This is the Kalva Chomer that they made. They said, if with regards to Tumah, you're allowed to push off and add on an extra month to ensure that everyone is able to bring the Korban Pesach in a state of absolute tara. Even though they could actually bring it. But it was good enough grounds to add on an extra month just so that they should bring it in absolute tara instead of bringing it in average tara. Mikol Makom nonetheless. Since it was pushed off, we allowed them to. Since there was still some remnant of tumah, therefore ma'abrin, we added on an extra month. He says, if that's the case, im hoyo hadin, if the law was, which is what they thought, the Pesach lo dochi tumah klal, that Pesach doesn't push off tumah at all, shema'abrin ashono shalayutcha Pesach legamre. If the law would have been that when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you don't actually bring the Korban Pesach, which is what they thought, for sure you've got to manipulate the calendar to ensure that that doesn't fall out so that you can bring the Korban Pesach. That was their logic. The logic was, if when it comes to a state of Tumah, where you're able to bring it, but nonetheless they manipulate the calendar to ensure that everyone brings it in absolute Tara, how much more so if a certain state, which happens to be the day of the week, is going to ensure that you're not able to bring the Korban Pesach at all, for sure we should manipulate the calendar. And he carries on and he says that, think about it, there you're manipulating an entire month. Here we're talking about just one day, just making Adar into a month, not of 29 days, but of 30 days. That's all you're talking about. It's not a big deal. So this is what the B'nai B'Seira thought. And that is why, historically, he says, for hundreds of years, there actually was no situation, sounds like that's what the Slach is telling us, there actually was no situation where Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos. It didn't happen, because the calendar was always manipulated. What was Nis'alma? What was forgotten from B'nai B'Seira at that time? B'nai B'Seira, for some odd reason, they didn't do this at the, whatever, at the, he says, could be B'Shnas B'Tzoris, there was a time of famine or whatever it was, they didn't add on that extra day to Adar, and so it did happen that Arvasar, that the 14th falls out on the Shabbos, and now they don't know what to do. Comes along Hillel and says, you know what, all that you've been doing, so it wasn't like there was something forgotten, it wasn't like people forgot what they did five years ago or 20 years ago, it wasn't done. However, they didn't have the limud that you can actually bring it on Shabbos. And that's when Hillel comes along. Hillel has the limud that they don't have. They didn't have that limud. He had the limud. But it's not like there was something that was completely, there was collective amnesia of the entire Jewish nation that hadn't done it before. And that's why it starts off and says, halacha zu, this alma bim nebisari, this halacha, this was forgotten from nebisari. What was forgotten? The fact that chal yudal yis b'shabbos, that itself, that the 14th could fall out on Shabbos, that itself was something which was completely, was unheard of. And that's why the whole Jewish nation over here, way, what do we do now? What are we meant to do over here? They had a good Kal V'Chomer. They had a good logic to say that if in a situation when you're not going to be able to bring the Korban Pesach, you should just push off the entire. We should manipulate the calendar so that you will be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Yeah.
So for 300 years or so, they forgot. They didn't know if Pesach would Dorcha Shabbos.
Correct. They didn't know. So they thought that it can't.
The Chumra, they always added to the calendar.
Yeah, correct. It wasn't the Chumra. In their minds, you couldn't. But now this year, they were suddenly stuck. Because now the calendar, they've already gone through Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You can't edit a calendar after you've gone through Rosh Chodesh, right? After Chavtes Adar, you can't, there's nothing that you can do. And now they're stuck. Well, what do we do now?
And then Hillel comes along and Hillel saves the day. And he tells them exactly what to do. What's so amazing, you just think about it. Imagine like you've got this massive institution, the institution of the Nesios, and you've got the institution of the Sanhedrin, you've got the institution of everything, and comes along someone, and it's not like the guy comes along and he says, hey, you know what, you can have this milk together with that or whatever it is. It's not like he comes and he says, no, we can be mako on this kind of thing. He comes and he tells you the entire Jewish nation, everything that none of you, that what you all didn't do for all these years, I'm telling you that you're allowed to do it. And they rely on him and they go with him. It's incredible. Omnivorous. It just shows the power of an individual.
Why wasn't there any kasher on his limit?
They accepted it. He had a Masorah. He got from Shmaya and Naphtali. It's not exactly a Gzeirah Shavah. It's more that what we know B'moy Adoya over there tells us that it is even on Shabbos, and there we have a limit that it's even on Shabbos. It makes sense that it should be the same thing over here. When it says B'moy Adoya, similar to B'meh Matzino. Yeah, similar to that. Okay. Correct. So just to go to another quick answer, and then we'll get into some things of the particulars of the sugya itself. So there is a series of sforim which are called Daf Ala Daf. Daf Ala Daf was put together, which is on the Daf Yomi, different insights into that, and it's been put together in a number of different sforim, and you can see it. It's on the Bar Ilan and on everything else. So on this, obviously, he brings a lot of different answers to the question. And he brings as follows. He says, "V'kosav Minchas Yitzchak L'Taret." I'm just bringing as he writes it. He brings from the Minchas Yitzchak. He answers as follows. He says, "How is it possible that they forgot?" He says, "Yesh Loimar." It's possible to say. Another answer. "De b'nei b'seiru yodu shePesach toich Shabbos." They knew that Pesach pushes away Shabbos. And they also knew that the Bnei Yisrael in the desert brought the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. Now here's the interesting thing. I'm not going into the whole Gemara, but the first Korban Pesach that they brought in the desert, which was where it's actually written the word B'moy Adoy, that was actually on Shabbos. If you do the calculations, that was on Shabbos. How do they not know that? How do they not know that it had been done on Shabbos? And if you look at the psukim in the Torah, it has to be that the 14th had fallen out on Shabbos. The very first Pesach, 1 year after going out of Mitzrayim, it fell out on Shabbos. Erev Pesach is on Shabbos.
Wait, you're saying in the first year in the...
First year in the desert.
Because it couldn't have been...
No, that was on a Thursday. It was on a Thursday, right? They went out of Mitzrayim on a Thursday. Erev Pesach was on a Wednesday when they went out of Mitzrayim. The following year, Erev Pesach was on Shabbos. And that's B'moy Adoy. Question is, how could they not know that? If you just do a calculation of the Psukim, you can work that out. You look in the Gemara. So he says, they did know that. Elokol Shei Losem Hoysa. The whole question was... Sorry, I'm just moving this down. The second line, third last line, Kol Shei Losam Hoysa. The entire question was, Ha'im Chachamim Gozru Bezeh Mitam Gzeira De Lo Yidche Shabbos. We know that there are times when the Chachamim came along. We experienced it this year. The Chachamim come along and they tell us, even though there's a mitzvah asim in our Torah to do something, nonetheless, we're telling you for certain reasons not to do it. For example, V'yesh Lem Koyach Lekach Tehave B'Shevi Al Taseh. The Chachamim have the koyach to do such a thing. And that is called the concept of Shevi Al Taseh. They're allowed to tell us, sit back, don't do the mitzvah Taseh. They can't tell you to do an Isra Derabanan, to do an Isra of the Torah. But can they tell you, hold back, don't do the mitzvah of the Torah. For Kumay de Gozrach, Shofar v'Lulav b'Shabbos. Just like this year, Shofar and Lulav, first day Rosh Hashanah, falls out in Shabbos. We didn't blow the Shofar. The Torah tells us, B'chodesh Hashvi Be'echa B'chodesh, on the first day of the seventh month, you've got to blow the Shofar. But we don't blow the Shofar. Why the Chachamim? Gzera de Rabba, they were worried that people are going to carry the Shofar. We have an Eruv, all these kind of things. The Gzera still stands. We don't blow the shofar. So they thought that perhaps, think about this. So the Torah would allow you to bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. Now just know that it's the only thing that you're allowed to do, even according to Hillel, even according to the Halacha, when bringing the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, you're only allowed to do that which is absolutely necessary. Extra things, the roasting of it, any other things, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. The whole thing, the Gemara tells us about how they would have to wait on Harabais until Shabbos had gone out to be able to roast it. It was a whole situation. So it's very possible that maybe early Chachamim came along and they said, yes, the Torah tells you to do it, but we're telling you not to do it. So, Valzeh Bahilo Va'omar Lehem. And this is what Hillel had come and told them. Hillel said to them, Shemekubalhu mipi Shmaya Va'avtalyon, that he accepted, he had received from Shmaya and Avtalyon, Delo Gozru Bezeh Levato Mitzvus Asad Pesach. That they hadn't, that there was never a Gzeira to be Mevato, bringing, to cancel out, bringing the Korban Pesach, even though it falls out in Shabbos.
And v'ulai mitam, maybe the reason why, even though that they were mevato, shofar, and lulav, why not Pesach? The reason is, the asad de Pesach hadifo diyesh bakores. Maybe, as we said before, the mitzvah saseh of Pesach is stronger. They didn't want to play around with that because that has a punishment of kores. If you don't blow the shofar, don't check the lulav, you don't get kores. Whereas if you don't bring the korban Pesach, you do. They don't want to touch that one at all, and therefore they kept it over there. The issue with this answer is that it's not alluded to anywhere in the words of the Gemara. The answer is that he comes along and he tells them. Hillel says, "B'moyadoi, b'moyadoi, b'moyadoi." Even on Shabbos, you bring the korban Pesach. And what they're saying over here, this answer is that it's not about the b'moyadoi. It's not about that. It's more that they kept the b'moyadoi. They kept it even though you could say that the chachamim had come and would have cancelled it out. Anyway, that's a little bit on that sugya in the Gemara, a famous sugya, an important sugya, and it is definitely very relevant, and it will come up, and you'll see many different answers to it. But again, those three things: the simple one, the Yerushalmi, which says that the only reason that they forgot was so that Hillel should be the head, the tzlach. That actually hadn't happened before because they always manipulated the calendar, and this was the first time. And Hillel told them that you're allowed to do it nonetheless. And then the answer of the Minchas Yitzchak, which is that they thought that there was a gzeira not to do it on Shabbos, but Hillel told them that there isn't such a gzeira at all. Now, into the Gemara itself, like any piece, this piece has a Mishnah with regards to all the dinim of what we do. There's a Mishnah. There's actually more than one Mishnah. The Mishnah, Gemara. Then we'll go to the tour, the Beis Yosef on the tour, and the Shulchan Aruch. So the way that we're going to go about this is in quite a methodical way. Yeah?
There was a Mishnah that said when Pesach falls on Shabbos.
Oh, you'll see what details it tells us. When was the Mishnah written? The Mishnah is much later on, right? Rabbi Huda Nasi compiles the Mishnah. He puts together the halacha, right? Yeah. That's later on. But Nevi Sera is Hillel's the beginning of the house of Rebbe. Hillel's seven generations above Rebbe, right? So the way we're going to look at it is that we're going to look at the Mishnah, look at the Gemara, try and understand the Gemara. It's not very not a lot of Gemara with how we practice what we actually do when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Then we'll look at the tour. From the tour, we'll go to the Beis Yosef. From there, we're going to have a good idea of things. Then we'll go to the Shulchan Aruch. On the Shulchan Aruch, we'll look at, in each halacha, because we said there's an entire siman, but it's actually only six se'ifim of the siman, which is most relevant. On each one of those se'ifim, we will look at some of the modern-day questions, say modern-day or practical considerations with regards to Erev Pesach falling out on Shabbos. For example, what happened if you woke up late on the Shabbos morning? Okay? So Shabbos morning, you've got to daven and you've got to have your chametz before the zman, before 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. What happens if you woke up late? There's a question which was asked in front of some of the big poskim of this last generation. What should you do? Should you have your Shabbos meal before you daven? There's a problem to eat and to wash before you daven. Or maybe that is only there's a mitzvah of onik Shabbos is daraisa and not to eat before davening is derabon. Whatever the whole, there's a lot of very interesting things. The Gemara says as follows. Again, the Gemara in Pesachim says. This is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Arba asur shechal yoyz b'Shabbos. When the 14th falls out on Shabbos, on the top of page 2. When the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, Mevarin es hakol milifne haShabbos. We get rid of everything before Shabbos. So on the 13th, we get rid of everything. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Now that sounds very good, right? So Rabbi Meir is telling you've got to get rid of absolutely everything. Understand the Mishnah Kipshuta, right? Chachamim say bizmanoi, in its time. You get rid of everything in its right time. What's this? This man is on Erev Pesach, right? On Shabbos. Sounds like the Chacham are telling you to get rid of your things only on Erev Pesach, right? Don't do anything on Friday. Do everything on Shabbos. So Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says, it depends. Truma milifna Shabbos. If you've got Truma in your possession, those who be doing the daf, understand that Truma and getting rid of Truma on Erev Pesach is an entire sugya. You've got dapim and dapim, full pages in the Gemara which discuss it, right? Because it's not so simple to just get rid of Truma. Truma, you can have Truma which is pure, Truma which is not pure. Can you just burn it? It's not so simple to just burn it, get rid of it. So Truma melifne ha-Shabbos. Truma, you get rid of before Shabbos. V'chulin bizmanan, but chulin in the regular time. Now what's most relevant for us is chulin, because we don't have Truma. We don't eat Truma. What's the reason for that? And let's look at the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura says pshat. Says truma milipne haShabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadik says truma you get rid of before Shabbos and chulin bizman on in its time on Shabbos. And this doesn't seem to be at all what we actually do. So he says truma milipne haShabbos. The reason you have to get rid of truma before Shabbos she'ein yochol lahachil lo lezorim lo lebehem ulashoy se'i efshar, because you have nothing to do with it. Remember, it's chametz. You got a loaf of bread which is truma. You can't give it to eat, not to zorim. People are not koyanim. For lo lebehem, you can't give it to animals. And you can't leave it because it's Pesach, right? Because it's chametz. So what are you going to do with it? So what you need to do with it is that get rid of it right before. Yes, you can give it to Kohanim, but how many Kohanim come along, right? There's not going to be so many Kohanim. So basically, get rid of it. Whereas chulin, you just, chulin is ordinary food, like food that we have today. Get rid of it in its right time, which means on, seems to be on Erev Pesach. Because from until that time, you will have many people to eat it. So basically, you have plenty of food to eat. But halacha Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadik, and halacha is like, says the Bar Tanura, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadik, which means that the halacha seems to be that regular food, don't do anything on Friday, don't do anything on the 13th, only get rid of it bismanon, like the Chacham said, bismanon in its right time. Truma, if we had truma today, truma you got to get rid of on Friday, but Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell us much about truma. It's not interested in truma. It's interested more about what we do with our foods today. So it seems to be only on Shabbos. Sorry, just going to question someone? Yeah.
So truma you can't throw out in the bin, right?
You can't throw truma in the bin.
So that's no. Why you have to get rid of when the
Kohanim
need it, many people come to you?
Well, no. The problem with truma is that you don't have many Kohanim. It's not the kind of people who can eat it are very few, right? Okay. It's a very small clientele who are actually able to eat it. Therefore, burn it in its right time. Meaning, not its right time. Burn it on the 13th, you burn it. Whereas chulin, you'll have people to eat it up until the time.
But even chulin, you don't have people to eat it, you can also destroy chulin.
It's easier to destroy, correct. You can destroy truma as well if it's chametz, right? That's a whole, Gemara talks a lot about that.
So why did chulin bismanan, is it because...
Let's first see what's the pshat in zmanon. That's the important thing over here. Sounds like zmanoi means that all chulin, you just keep on, don't do anything with chulin on your gimel. Just keep it, eat it, continue. Don't get rid of it. So basically, if I was just reading the Mishnah without any other explanation whatsoever, I would think that if I was going to paskin halacha based on the Mishnah, the way I just understand it right now, without going into the Gemara or the Rambam and the Tur, I would understand that all that is telling us is that don't do anything on the 13th. You'll get rid of it somehow on the 14th. You can't make a fire, but you'll get rid of it. That's what it sounds like. That's chulin, right? Now let's look at the Gemara.
Can't you just do bittul by your truma? Relinquish ownership.
The problem is because someone might come to eat it, right?
Label it.
Yeah. So
put a sign.
It's the whole thing with. So the problem, huh? You crumb it up, yeah. I mean, no, he's asking a different question. He says, why don't you just be mevatel? But generally, why do you burn truma? So you, because it can fall. There's whole sugis in the Gemara about truma falling into the wrong hands. They were always very worried about that, about the wrong hands. People eating it, and therefore even labeling wasn't always good enough. They didn't always rely on labeling. You see that from the Gemaras. They were very, very wary about that. But anyway, let's just look at this piece in the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara says, "Titanya, arba'as shechalias b'Shabbos. When the 14th falls out on Shabbos, mevarin esakol milifne haShabbos. Mevarin esakol. You've got to get rid of everything from before Shabbos. V'sorfin, then we burn trumas tameis tluyas utahiras. All trumas, whether they are tame, whether they are hanging, which means you're not sure of their status, or whether they are tar." Now let's read these words carefully. I understand over here, it tells us, get rid of everything before Shabbos. But then you leave over from the pure truma enough for two meals. Doesn't mention chulin at all. Sounds like just from truma you're leaving over for two meals. K'deilecho ad arba shoyis, in order to eat it up to 4 hours into the day on Yudalad on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, ish bar toisa, sh'omer mishum Rabbi Yeshua. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, ish bar toisa, said the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Omer loy, so they said to him, tahoiros lo yisorfu. Said, why should you burn the tahoiros? Why are you burning the pure ones at early time? Remember, you're not allowed to just burn truma. So You're only allowed to burn it because you have the Isser of Chomet, but you don't have the Isser of Chomet yet. It's the 13th. So they say to him, Tahoris lo yisar fu shema yimtsu lahen oichlin. We shouldn't burn the Tahoris because maybe the people are going to come and eat them. Omar lohan, so he turns to them and he says, kvar bikshuv lo matzu. Like, we've already sought, we've already looked, and we didn't find, which means that you're not always going to find people. It's a hard thing to find, dafka koyanim, and people are going to come. Omar lo, they said, shema chutz l'chay balanu. Maybe they are outside. Maybe they're not around right now. We're talking about it on Yud Gimel. You don't see any Kohanim around. But maybe Kohanim will come from outside of the wall, which means that later this afternoon they're going to come. Omar Lohem, he said to them, L'divreichem, according to you, af t'luyos lo yisarfu, so to t'luyos, so to that which we are not sure, also you shouldn't burn. Shema yovay Eliyahu v'tivitarem. Maybe Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come along. T'luyos are that we don't know the status of them. Maybe Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come along and he's going to say that actually they're Torah. Omer loy, they said to him, "From muftach lehen liyisrael, she'en Eliyahu bo loy barav shabbosus v'le'barav yom tovim ipnei ha'toyrach." That Eliyahu Hanavi is not coming on erev Shabbos and he's not coming on erev Yom Tov because he doesn't want to bother people. As many mafarshim say, "We'll take the bother. Don't worry, just come. Right? We'll accept the bother. We've been waiting for you long enough. We'll our bother of getting ready for Shabbos will also put aside." So anyway, Omru, they said, what's important for our purpose over here, loy zozu misham, they didn't move from there, achekovu halacha karabeloza ben Yehuda ish partoisa shom mishum Rabbi Yeshua, until they established the halacha. They established the halacha like him. Like what? So he said that trumais, you get rid of earlier, and he said that you get rid of everything. It seems to be that all that he's talking about is trumos. He's not talking about chulin at all. He says chulin, it would seem like we said from the earlier Mishnah. Again, it's about putting these two things together. It would seem to be from the earlier Mishnah, like we said, Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok said, truma you get rid of before Shabbos, and chulin in the right time. He's only talking about truma. He says, with regards to truma, get rid of it all on Friday. In the earlier on Friday, but leave over from the Tahar Truma for enough for two meals. But Chulin, it sounds like you get rid of it when? In the proper time. No one's mentioning anything. Proper time meaning on the 14th. That's what it sounds like. And in fact, this is what we see. So the Rambam writes, look at the Rambam, and we'll see in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. The point over here is, I'd like to get to, we're not going to get to it today, but the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is crucial, always crucial when learning halacha, is to go to the Beis Yosef. Because the Beis Yosef takes a sugya from the Gemara, and he shows us, he does it in a way of a Shulchan Aruch. He starts to organize things. He organizes, and the Beis Yosef is going to tell us over here that actually, everyone agrees, it's very, very clear that Truma you get rid of earlier. And it's very, very clear that Chulin you also get rid of earlier. When it says that they bizman noi, when the Chachamim say in its time, they're referring to the extra food that you left over for the two meals, that's bizman noi, that in the right time you get rid of it. But it's not talking about everything. Everything you do earlier on. We treat Truma Chulin the same as Truma. But look, you just see straight away in the Rambam writes as follows. This is why you do things. The Rambam says, Chal arbo osor, sorry, let me just turn the page here. Chal arbo osor liyos b'shabbos. If the 14th falls out on Shabbos, boikin es ha-chomet b'leile erev Shabbos. So we check for the chomet on the night of the 13th, meaning Thursday night. And you leave over enough chomet for yourself, for you to eat, up until 4 hours into the 4 hours into Shabbos day. Umanichoi b'mokoi mutzna, put it in a concealed place. V'ashar mevardu milifna Shabbos. The rest of it you have to get rid of before Shabbos. Rambam is telling you everything you get rid of before Shabbos, except for the chametz that you have set aside for your Shabbos meals. V'imnishar mina chametz b'yom haShabbos acha arba shoyis. Now, if you have leftover chametz after, so you come to 4 hours into Shabbos, what do you do then? Mevatloi, you've got to be mevatol that chometz. The koifa olav kli ad motziyob tovarishin and mevaroi. And remember, Shabbos morning, you've got something left over. It's going to become very practical. You've got you had your little challah. You got some left over. You just can't eat anymore. What do you do with it? Is that you mevatol it? You put a object over it so that you won't come to eat it. And then on motzi yom tovarishin, which means on motzi Shabbos, on Sunday night, what do? Is that you go and you burn it and you get rid of it. Right, so the is now the Ravid says as follows. The Ravid says, commenting on the words of the Rambam, who said, Chol arba asalias b'shabbos, b'rkin z'chomets b'leo shalash, asa maneach min ha-chomets, Omer Avram, Arav Zal, le'kosav kain, ele b'truma. He says, this that the Rambam writes, he says, actually he's got it a little bit wrong. This whole din of leaving things over, that's only written with regards to truma. Shemavair u'mishayir. Where he, if you look carefully in the words of the Mishnah, it says with regards to Truma, he gets rid of all of it before Umeshayer, and he leaves over 2 meals worth until the next day. But he says, if you look in the wording of the Mishnah, it doesn't say anything about getting rid of your chulin. Why is the Rambam telling us today to get rid of the Rambam's not talking about Truma over here. The Rambam's telling us about what to do over here in Sydney, Australia today. What do we do? He says, what you got to do is that you got to be Mavar. He says, you got to get rid of everything on the night of the 13th. He says, why are we doing that? Why are we getting rid of things on the night of the 13th? We shouldn't be doing that. He says, the Mishnah only talks about getting rid of Truma and leaving over to, because there's no one to eat the Truma. Ela bizmanoi. He says, that you're doing the right time. Ker Rabbi Loza Ishpatoisa. Like Rabbi Loza Ishpatoisa. Ker Rabbi Loza Rabbi Tzadik. To Tavayu Sviru Luda Hadadi. They are all, the Mishnah over here, Rabbi Loza Rabbi Tzadik and Rabbi Loza Ishpatoisa, they all are saying the same thing. They all agree that only it's only Truma that you've got to get rid of earlier and leave over enough for 2 meals if you're a kohen. Whereas when it comes to chulin, that's something which you get rid of bizmanoi in its right time. For this we need the Beis Yosef to start working things out. Small, just a one paragraph, but the Beis Yosef explains to us who's commenting on what. And the Beis Yosef, again, he's going to read as follows, just going back to the Mishnah, he says, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, get rid of absolutely everything. Don't leave over anything whatsoever. Whereas, we understand, based on the words in the Gemara, the Chachamim say, in its time, he's referring to that which you leave over for your meal, including your chulin that you leave over, that you've got to get rid of in the time. Rabbi Lozab Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Truma Milifna Shabbos. He says, all Truma before Shabbos, But chulin is what you leave over certain things from, and that you're going to have bizmanon in its right time. So mit Hashem, tomorrow we will start off with a tour, and we get into the nitty gritty of the halacha, the tour, Beis Yosef, and into the Shulchan Aruch, and some of the very practical cases. We'll start talking about Tainus Bechoris and a few other things as well.
We have Q&A break now.
Shkoyach, everyone.